Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Here, Jesus uses the physical to illustrate the spiritual. And we have three applications arising from our text this morning. William Shakespeare actually applied verse 22 this way, and he said this, that the eye is the window to the soul. And that's a good Bible application because that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about the soul, and he's talking about the door that leads to the soul. And so I prayed about this and agonized over it a little bit, and decided that that was a good and legitimate application. And I want to tell you that recently we had three windows replaced in our home. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking of that. The condition of these windows was atrocious. And when we look at their condition and we look at the remedy, the new window, we see a spiritual point very vividly brought forth. One window was very cloudy. It didn't let much light in, and you could see even less out of it. Furthermore, it's one of those old windows, so it had a rope assembly with the pulley and the, you know, the weights on the bottom there. And the rope assembly was broken. So you would have to prop it up with the stick. I put the stick away, but still my wife, as she opens the new window, she's looking for the stick to go and hold it up. So I almost one day, I had put it out there, and I was like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that to my beautiful wife. Because you'd be sitting there putting the stick in there, trying to say, hey, how come this doesn't kind of like fall on it, you know? But this window here, it stayed in this condition for quite a while. Because up until recently, we didn't have the means to replace it. We didn't have the money. So it is with some folks, spiritually speaking. They're unbelievers or they're Christians who are trying to operate not according to Christ in the Bible, but having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Spiritual ignorance. Now, if your eye is a cloudy window to your soul, all you're going to do is you're going to call the carpenter from Nazareth. See, these window guys, they did okay. They did an okay job. But spiritually speaking, I'm not going to call these guys. I'm going to call the Lord. He's been in business almost 2,000 years. And he does all manner of carpentry. He also does windows. And when we call him, what happens? We let the light of the world in. Our eye is no longer cloudy. And furthermore, I can get rid of that wooden stick that we needed to prop the window open. Friends, you don't need worldly and godless psych theory, motivational speakers, or even a legalistic moralism to prop up your spirit anymore. All you need is a word, the Word of God, and a relationship with the living God that you can go to through prayer. And he is able to show you how to see clearly in whatever circumstance or situation you're in. Now, a second window in our home needed replacement because it was drafty. The window would let all of the cold draft in. And such it is. When our eye is drafty, all the junk of the world, all the sin is able to blow in there and get into our spirit with poor results. Now, we had a drafty window over here on Minden Road, but when we were on Summer Street, we had a window that was so drafty that when it snowed out, it would snow inside. And my wife would come, she said, "James, it's snowing inside." I'm like, what are you talking about? Sure enough, there's a layer of half an inch of snow, you know, on the sill. Everything that the window was supposed to do, it was supposed to keep out the draft and keep out the snow, it wasn't doing because it needed replacement. So when we think of drafts, the drafts that go in through the eye into the soul, that go in through that window into your home, the drafts of idolatry, the drafts of covetousness, the drafts of bitterness, anger, jealousy, lust, self-righteousness, all blowing cold air, stuff that doesn't belong there, into your spirit. If you're finding that, it's time that you get that window replaced and sealed up. And God the Holy Spirit specializes in that. He works with the carpenter. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption, provides the believer with once for all security of salvation. And he'll keep those drafts out if you ask him. The same Spirit is one with he who sanctifies. And through prayer, we also work out our own salvation. Friends, follow the divine advice. Pray that God will seal up the drafts of sin. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's the stuff that ought to get in through the eye, not that other junk that drafts its way in. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's God's promise. Now, the third type of window that needs replacing is the one that stays stuck shut. Anyone got a window like that in their house? It's so hard to open, even if you're able to get it open. You can't shut it afterwards. So you just leave it alone. It's well enough to do that. If the eye is the window to the soul, why wouldn't you want it closed to some things and open to everything good all the time? Friends, if the window is no good, why not board it up and not see from it at all? This is Jesus' point when he repeatedly calls the Pharisees and the scribes blind. And yet, some, rather than opening their eye to the Lord and letting his light in, board up the eye and bought up their hearts for fear of others, for lack of self-confidence, or as a defense mechanism so as not to be vulnerable for fear of hurt. But what does the scripture say? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. You may not think much of yourself. You may have some difficulty with your esteem. But friend, if you will find all of your identity in Jesus Christ today, he stands above, looking at a bunch of victors. As I said the other Friday, when he looks around this room, he sees a bunch of winners in the Lord. People that he died for. More than conquerors through the blood of Christ. And if you're a child of God, such you are. Now getting back to our third glorious window. This window happened to be in the bathroom. And inside, the condensation would gather and mold would begin to appear. And this would cause me to clean more and to repaint very often. It is as if what was behind the window to the soul, because there was something wrong with the eye, everything else was in a state of neglect and disrepair. Friends, just as it takes more effort to be a criminal and a liar than an honest, lawful person, so too does it take more effort to clean up one's life without Christ. Why not give your burdens to him? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If the light in you is darkness, saith the Lord. This refers to light, in loose quotes, that is other than from Christ. It is an artificial light source, a light of good works and morality, false religion and self-righteousness. To this, the Lord says, and you shall grope at noonday, as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. This is the Lord's warning through Moses to Israel, should she persist in her unbelief. Focus specifically on the end of that verse. Oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Will God accept you in the end if you will not accept him now on his very own terms? How great is that darkness? Are you truly of the light at all? Are your deeds truly done honorably before God and humbly and discreetly before men? Christian, to you, he says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And here we practice biblical separation. We separate from the unholiness, the darkness, the sinful lifestyles and proclivities of the world. For God has called us to holiness, and He has set us apart. He's called us to light and not darkness. But what of the children of darkness? What do the children of darkness do? They do the very same thing. They separate from the light, not knowing their bitter end. Such were some of you. And we all know folks like this who separate from the light and they resist the light. You know why? Because they know that their deeds are evil. And the conviction of the Lord, in some sense, has come upon them. And so let us pray that the Lord brings about such a conviction that it overrides the darkness, and that God's glorious light will come in. That eye will be fixed. That window to the soul will no longer be boarded up, but repaired. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And again, the scripture says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I like that verse. You're in the army now. So what then? If the light in you is, in fact, light. Our world is full of darkness. But the child of God has hope and peace in these uncertain days. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. Christian friend, you have the answer. The gospel. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. You have the light of Christ. You have the peace of God. To the unbeliever, to the hypocrite, to the fence sitter, as they say, I think it's an oxymoron, same difference. I think they only say that in Woonsocket. You need the gospel. You need Christ's light, God's peace. And will you have all of these this morning? Knowing that the scripture says that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even you. So will you do that this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word, the Holy Bible, and the depth that we find in there. We thank you for showing us how to be saved from this wicked and sinful generation. We thank you that we have an identity. Child of God, son, daughter of the King. Thank you for your hope, for your peace. Lord, if there is anything wrong with our eye, if there is anything penetrating to the soul that ought not be there, Lord, give us aid in that. Give us a good eye, free from the drafts of sin, eyes wide open to your spiritual truth, and closed to the things of the kingdom of darkness. There are many considerations that were brought to bear this morning from the dozens of scriptures from your word. Lord, we pray that as you have reached into the soul of each one and convicted every heart, that the challenges will not soon be forgotten, that we might act upon them, that we might become more and more holy, more conformed to your image. And we know that we're never going to achieve in this life. We thank you that you have achieved for us and that you've shown us the way. We ask your blessing, your guiding hand upon the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.